Drone analysis tape, sir.
Thank you.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Almost as though they were irrational, drugged.
La 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 la.
That's some beautiful music, Wendy. That's what that is.
This is you singing, George Takei.
Oh, you're kidding. Is that me?
That was you.
How are you, sir?
Just great. We just got into Boston and checked into the hotel. We haven't unpacked yet, but we understand that you have a time situation there, so we're talking to you immediately, a little bit out of breath.
We appreciate it, George. The great George Takei joins us right now on the telephone. He's in Boston. We're in Chicago, but George will be in Chicago tomorrow night for his show at the Chicago Theater. What an evening this will be. They'll show Star Trek II, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and then you come out and talk about that and your career, correct, George?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, we got into Boston from Dallas, Texas, where I spoke last night. And this city here, Boston, has a great meaning for me because this is Leonard Nimoy's hometown.
Mm.
And I just happened to be passing through Boston at Logan Airport when I learned about Leonard's passing in his hometown.
Such a sad...
So this is a very significant city for me. I know that one of my Star Trek colleagues is from that Chicago area, Robbins, Illinois. That's not too far from Chicago, is it?
Who from Star Trek is from Robbins? We're both curious.
Guess who came from Robbins, Illinois?
Uhuru.
Nichelle Nichols,
is
yes.
Is she Uhura. Really?
Uhura.
I didn't know that. How about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to her home, not hometown, but her home stomping grounds there in Chicago tomorrow.
Now, did you keep in touch with a lot of your pals from the Star Trek TV series?
Well, my work colleagues from Star Trek have become my lifelong friends. As a matter of fact, Nichelle, when Brad and I got married, we asked her to be our matron of honor. And she said, I am not a matron. And we had asked Walter to be our best, Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov, to be our best man. So she said, I am not a matron. If Walter can be the best man, why can't I be the best lady? And I said, darling, of course you are.
I don't blame her, though.
Michelle
matron
was our best lady when we got married.
Matron is not a great term. I agree with her
on
that.
It makes you sound old.
She's very, very precise about how she's described.
George, I don't want to get too heavy with you. We're not here to talk real politics, but I have to ask you this. As you know, there's a lot going on in the country right now with immigration, and I know your family story. I know your struggles with the internment camps and what that must have been like. I've read all about that. But what's your perspective about what's going on politically with immigration right now in the country?
Well, the thing is, Donald Trump really doesn't know what he's talking about. And when he, during the campaign, he made that statement, we're going to have a ban on all Muslims coming into the country. This was last year.
Yeah.
And at that time, I happened to be doing a musical on Broadway titled Allegiance, which is the story of the imprisonment of Japanese Americans during the Second World War. And I thought he could learn something. So I very publicly invited Donald Trump to come see a performance of Allegiance. I went on the morning talk shows. I went on the afternoon talk shows, evening talk shows, certainly on social media to extend to him that invitation.
Sure.
He never came.
No.
And he could learn something. And, we gave him every opportunity to learn something about that dark chapter of American history so that he wouldn't do the kind of thing he just did last Friday. And ironically, last Friday was the Holocaust Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Right.
When we remember that awful atrocity that happened in Europe when over 6 million Jewish people were slaughtered, genocide in Europe. And I don't think he really knows anything too much about that either. And yet, that very same day, last Friday, he passed that executive order. And I was chilled by it. And, you know, later this month, February, on the 19th, we have another day of remembrance when another president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 75 years ago, signed an executive order numbered 9066, which ordered all Japanese Americans, American citizens, to be rounded up and put into barbed wire prison camps just because of our Japanese ancestry. I mean, you know, we're Americans. My mother was born in Sacramento. My father was a San Franciscan. They met and married, and my siblings and I, my brother and my sister were born in Los Angeles. We're Americans.
Right.
And yet we were all swept up by this all-inclusive sweeping all Japanese Americans on the West Coast, 120,000 of us, and put into these barbed wire prison camps.
Can I ask a question, George? How did your family find a way to give America a second chance after that? You were interned for the wrongest of reasons, just because of your heritage. How did you come out of that and still love this country?
Well, it's a long story, and I don't think we have the time for that, because, you know, they rounded us up suddenly. And when the war ended, they opened the gates to the prison camps suddenly.
Yeah.
We were suddenly free to go. And you know, they had impoverished us. They'd taken my father's business, our home, our property, our bank accounts had been frozen. You know, we had nothing left. And so what they gave us was a one-way ticket to anywhere in the United States that we wanted to go to, and $20. We were to start all over again with $20. And our first home back home in Los Angeles was on Skid Row, which to us kids, I was the oldest. I was 8 years old by that time. My brother was seven. And my sister, who was a baby, an infant, when we went into the camp, had spent all her short life in behind those barbed wire fences. And coming to what my parents said was home was terrifying for us. The smell of human urine everywhere, in the hallways, on the street, everywhere. And those scary, ugly, smelly people leaning on the wall, sprawled on the sidewalk or staggering about, you know, was absolutely terrifying, particularly to my baby sister. She said, "Mama, let's go back home," meaning behind barbed wire fences.
Sure.
That's terrible.
Because that was better than coming home to Los Angeles. And it took a lot of years for my parents to get back on their feet. But, you know, when I became a teenager, I read civics books and history books and read about all the shining ideals of American democracy. And I couldn't reconcile that with what I knew to be my childhood imprisonment. And so I had many long discussions after dinner with my father. And I learned from my father, the man in our family who suffered the most, who bore the burden of the loss and the anguish and the degradation the most. And he was still able to explain to me about American democracy. He said, "This is a people's democracy." And the people, especially the founding fathers who articulated those shining words, "All men are created equal and endowed with an inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You know, those words are what the human being is capable of coming up with.
Sure.
But the people are also fallible human beings, and we make horrible mistakes. And so our democracy, knowing that we can do great things, but we're also fallible human beings, requires people who cherish those ideals and actively engage in the process of government. This is a participatory democracy. And he introduced me to how this system works by taking me downtown to the Adlai Stevenson for President campaign headquarters. Now, I'm sure you recognize that name.
Absolutely.
Sure we do, yeah.
He was one of your great governors from Illinois. And my father was really impressed with him. And I heard his speeches, too, and he was an eloquent speaker, stirring speaker. And so he took me downtown to the Adlai Stevenson, the campaign headquarters. And there I was with all these other people, passionately dedicated to getting Governor Stevenson elected. And I understood what it takes to make this government be true. And so, you know, education is so important. And we tried to educate this man, Donald Trump, who knows very little but acts impetuously right off the top of his head.
Yeah.
And that executive order that he put out about banning
Muslims.
Travel from those Muslim majority countries, which came out last Friday.
Mm.
His, you know, the rollout was terrible. I mean, he didn't touch bases with the Transportation Security
right.
Administration. The Secretary of Homeland Security found out about it from television. And the State Department, you know, was being flooded by all the U.S. embassies from throughout the world asking for clarification. I mean, he just acts impetuously without doing the proper homework or knowing anything about what he's doing. And he caused all this commotion.
There was a lot of problems. And I believe, George, that, you know, we're going to find our news from this point forward via Twitter. That's what it seems like.
Well, that's not the way you run a government.
I realize that.
It is the worst way because, again, you don't vet things. You know, you just, Donald Trump just is tweeting off the top of his head.
I know we all have that, but, you know, we need filters sometimes to not put that up. We all need filters sometimes, and Donald Trump doesn't seem to display any filtering process, which could be detrimental.
Well, you got to have knowledge before you start mouthing off.
And that's a good point.
And that's why I invited him to Allegiance, our Broadway musical, because he could learn something about, you know, American history. It's a dark chapter of American history, and we can learn more from that or from the Holocaust in Europe. And, you know, now our most important allies in Europe, the European Council,
yeah,
the chairman of that, Donald Tusk, who was the former prime minister of Poland and is now the president of the European Council, has just a few days ago, after Donald Trump put out that executive order, put us on the danger list, together with countries like Russia and China and Islamic radical states. I mean, you know, they're our longest and strongest allies, and now they see us as someone dangerous.
I'm so proud to be an American, but there are times like these that I'm getting embarrassed, you know.
Predicting that Donald Trump's tenure is going to be very short.
Hmm.
It's going to be abbreviated, and that's going to happen because of his conflicts of interest. You know, it's very interesting. He chose seven Muslim majority countries.
Yeah.
And he said it's because of national security.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the most terrorists that came to this country were the people that caused 9/11 to happen.
Not from the ones that he banned.
None from many of those countries. But 15 came from Saudi Arabia. That's not on the list.
No, it sure isn't.
11 came from Egypt. Egypt isn't on the list. It's very curious, isn't it?
Well, there's oil interests, as you know.
Well, more than that,
yeah.
Donald Trump's got business relations in both Saudi Arabia and Egypt.
Yeah.
So that's a plain conflict of interest.
It's spooky.
I've got to tell you, in this time that's going on in America, I really have a great time looking on your Facebook page because you still put cute puppies and funny little things. And really, we need to get away from what's going on in the political world. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, the thing about resilience is knowing how to live and knowing how to find beauty and joy and love. And, you know, you can't just live by the horrors that are happening around you. And to be strong, you got to know why you're living.
So true.
Because there's beauty in this life, and there's joy in this life, and there are things that you can love, you know. And so I try to mix them all up with sober, serious advocacy.
You do a great job, and we look so forward to you coming to the Chicago Theater tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward, you know, but particularly because it's going to be at the Chicago Theater, and that is a landmark theater. I'm also a historic preservationist and an architecture buff.
And you're right in the right
place. What a
match.
Historic theaters.
We appreciate you taking the time. I know you just got into your room in Boston. We've got to run because there's a new show coming on the air. But we thank you so much for taking the time. And Chicago Theater tomorrow night, it's George Takei. Chicago loves you.
Will I see you guys there?
We would love to come out, George. That'd be fun.
Come on out.
All right, you got it.
Introduce yourselves to me.
All right. Set your phasers to entertain.
Take care.
Thanks,
Thank
George.
You so much.
George Takei, everybody, at the Chicago Theater tomorrow night.
That's a good line.
Tickets at thechicagotheater.com. We'll find out what Rowan and Anna have next.
My.
It's Bill and Wendy. WGN.